Mayor Nauman Ali Khan arrived safely, so I'll just give a brief introduction, and inshallah he can just give a little introduction of himself, inshallah, and we'll resume after Aisha, where he'll speak, inshallah. So, Brother Nauman Ali Khan is the founder and CEO of Bayina, as well as the lead instructor for a number of Bayina courses, including the fundamentals of classical Arabic and divine speech. He's well known throughout America for speaking at conferences, masjids, and other events. Please help me welcome Brother Nauman Ali Khan. Also, he has his own Wikipedia page that means he's pretty well known. So, here's Brother Nauman.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I believe the Isha Salat is in what, 10 minutes? So I'll just speak to you guys for 5 minutes and we can pray and go home. So, no, we'll come back after Isha inshallah ta'ala and I'll share some things with you. What I'll try and do is though, I'll try and start my talk right after the Fajr prayer so that we can get going immediately. I apologize for being late first of all, and I also apologize that I'm going to start immediately after Isha prayer because I have obligations at home and I have to run back. And since this talk is about harmony in the home, I better get back home quickly, so inshallah ta'ala. But I'd like to start things off by giving everybody here a homework assignment, a little bit of something you should look up while you're going and making, or before you get to make salat. And don't look it up on your mobile device. Actually open up a copy of the Quran and look for this, okay? Don't search it online or anything. There's an ayah in Surah Al-Rum. I don't know what surah number Surah Al-Rum is, look it up yourself. There's an ayah in Surah Al-Rum that will be the center of my talk about peace, love, and harmony in a marriage. Okay, so there's an ayah in Surah Al-Rum that has to do with what? Peace, love, and harmony in marriage. So I'd like you to see if you can find the ayah for me, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll have a little conversation about that. I'll probably divide my conversation into two halves. The first half will be about that ayah and some lessons from that beautiful ayah that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in Surah Al-Rum. And the second half of my conversation is just taking practical lessons from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet, so just some practical lessons in bringing about harmony and peace in the household. And I'll try not to speak in general terms. I'll try to speak in very specific terms, as though I'm just having a conversation with a young brother or a young couple, just like sitting at home and talking. I don't want to think of this as a speech, because we really, the solutions we need in our homes aren't going to come from speeches, they're going to come from very casual and frank conversations. That's what you need, you know, when people need a counselor, they need to talk to somebody, they don't need to hear a speech on a podium, they need to hear somebody give them very real, very relevant advice. So I'll try to do that, inshallah ta'ala, in the second half of my talk, and that'll be the session with Allah ta'ala. I think there's enough of us to warrant enough time to make wudu and get ready for the salah. So we'll stop now and reconvene right after the Fajr prayer. Shukran lakum, salam. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. A'udhu billahi minashaitan rajim. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min أنفسكم أزواجا أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One of the things that's very fascinating about the Quran is its use of words that create pictures in the mind. There's a lot of imagery in the Quran. In Surah Al-Rum, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Among out of His miraculous signs is that He created you from dirt, from dust. Now I want you to picture dirt. If you see a lot of dirt and you step on it or you use it in any way, what immediately happens to dirt? It rises and it spreads. It doesn't sit still, it spreads out. Now listen. ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Allah says He created you out of dirt, and all of a sudden you turned into mortal beings, flesh and bones. And you spread out. Tantashirun, you spread out. Just like what spreads? Dirt spreads everywhere. Just like that human beings now that were created from dirt spread everywhere. And spreading everywhere means we go apart from each other. When things are together, that's one thing. When they get apart, that's when they spread. So the imagery is that of people going apart from one another, getting further and further away from each other. In the very next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. He says, among His miraculous signs additionally, is that He created from your own selves, azwaj, spouses. When you think of a spouse, even though inshallah I'll explain some things about the language of the word, when you think of a spouse, you think of two people coming together or apart? Two people coming together. In the previous ayah, all humanity goes apart. In the very next ayah, Allah brings them back together, subhanAllah. And this is part of Allah's creation. He likes to create things that spread apart, and then He puts them together again. And so, you know, our bodies are going to come apart when we die, we go into this earth. And what will Allah do again when He raises us? He'll pull us back together again. Humanity was created, we spread out, we separate from one another, and then Allah puts them together again. When Adam alayhi salam was sent down to the earth, he was not together with his wife, they were apart and they had to find each other and they were together again. Right? So this idea of coming together is inside the word tazweej, zawaj. Now let's talk about the word zawaj, which gets translated usually, He created for you spouses. Really, in my mind, the best way to understand the word zawaj in Arabic is to understand He created for you the other half, your other halves. Zawj is used in Arabic when something is a part of two. And zawj is not complete by itself. You can't think of something that's a zawj that's complete by itself. It's only complete if it's with the other. For example, Allah created lots of things zawjain. Allah created وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ زَوْجَيْن. All kinds of things, out of all kinds of things, we created doubles, pairs. Think of night and day. Together they make a day, actually, to make an entire entity. Night by itself isn't complete, day by itself isn't complete. It's together that they formulate. Allah paired the sun and the moon. For our worship even, we depend on both. If we want to know what's the right time for salah, what do we look at? We look at the sun. If you want to know what right month of worship is supposed to be starting in, when are we supposed to start fasting? When is Eid coming? What do we look at? The moon. Allah paired these two things together. Allah paired other things together all over our deen that you can't separate, like knowledge and action, you can't separate those two. Like the Qur'an and the Sunnah, you can't separate those two. Like taking care of this life and taking care of the next life, you can't separate those two. Just like that, Allah says He created you, for you, pairs, your other halves. In other words, once you get married, you can't think of yourself as one person anymore. You have to think of yourself as half a person. Literally, you have to think of yourself as half a person, and that's not a problem. Allah says lakum, not alaykum. He didn't do this as a crime against you or as a punishment to you, as many of you think of marriage. But this is a favor to you, that He turned you into a half, now you think of the other half, and only when you realize the other half, now you're complete. The human being is unlike other animals. Other animals are perfectly capable, perfectly comfortable, not wearing any clothes. They're totally comfortable. Monkeys, elephants, birds, they don't need to put sweaters on. They don't feel embarrassed. Human beings, we were not taught to feel embarrassed. We learned in the story of Adam alayhi salam. In the story of Adam alayhi salam, when Allah took their clothes, immediately they felt embarrassed. Did Allah teach them to feel embarrassed? Did they have a class on haya, on shame, and you know, protecting yourself and covering yourself? None of that. This is Jannah, they just got created. And this is the first act of disobedience to Allah, and as a result, their clothes are taken away in Surah Al-A'raf, and they're trying to cover themselves immediately. Allah didn't tell them to cover themselves, they want to do that themselves. You know what I'm trying to get at? We are paired with our clothes. People don't think of you, except they think of you with your clothes. Allah made it like that. And then interestingly, when Allah talks about our spouse, He calls them Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. They're clothes for you and your clothes for them. Just like we're never separated from our clothes. We're together. That's part of who we are. It just becomes a part of us, an aspect of our personality. So we are inseparable from each other when we're married. I was kind of weirded out when I saw this topic. First of all, let me complain a little before I go on. Number one, because you know I'm a colleague with Abdul Nasser, and since he complains about everything, might as well take up his sunnah and do a little complaint. Okay, so number one, I agreed to do a Dars al-Quran. Next thing I see, a cheesy heart flyer with the IMT youth, and I'm going to get you guys for that one. I did not sign up for that flyer. And second of all, I didn't know the topic until about an hour ago. Okay, so those two complaints. But anyway, regardless, we're going to get back to the topic. That is, Allah Azza wa Jalla created us, and we have to think of ourselves as one part of another half. One part of another half. Now, if we have that attitude, Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. An ayat in the Arabic word, in the Arabic language, is something that should remind you of Allah. It's also something that's a gift of Allah to you, so you should be grateful for the ayat of Allah, like we're grateful for the ayat of the Qur'an, the miraculous signs, the revelations of the Qur'an. All the things that Allah created around us that are ayat are something we should be grateful for. So here's something we should be grateful for, that Allah made us creatures that look to get married and thus complete our other half. That is something we should be grateful to Allah for. When you are grateful to Allah for a favor, then you don't abuse that favor. If somebody gives you food, if your parents provide you food, if your employer provides you a paycheck, you get a gift, you get some compensation from somebody, you don't disrespect it. You show respect if it's worth something to you. You'll respect it, you'll honor it. If this gift has been given to us by Allah, marriage is a gift from Allah, then we have to honor it, not because we have respect for our spouse first, but because we have respect for Allah. As a result of that, we have respect for the institution of marriage. First and foremost, we're married people here. Secondly, for the unmarried in the audience who are thinking about getting married, and honestly, mostly have no idea what they're talking about or getting into. They don't have a clue. We don't have good marriage orientation in the Muslim community. We really don't. This is the first thing I wanted to add, to start off this conversation. The second thing, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. The lam is called lam السَّبَبِيَّة, lam al-illah. I did this for you, and then Allah answers the question, why did I do this for you? If somebody's wondering, why would I want to be with another? Why would I want to be with somebody else? I'm perfectly fine by myself. Allah gives a reason in the same ayah that He says, this is a favor to you, I made your second half. He says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Some of you read Quran, hopefully all of you. What's a sukoon? What's a sukoon? Give me an English word. What's a sukoon? When you stop. When you stop. Second, in Arabic, in sukoon, you're moving around and finally you stop. Now I told you the Arabic language is full of imagery, and the Quran also is full of imagery. Movement in the language is associated with disturbance. When something is moving, it is not at rest, meaning it's not at peace. That's also true in the English language. When an object stops moving, we call it an object at rest. The idea is that it's at peace. What Allah tells us is, I gave you a spouse because you're going to move around in the day. You're going to do all kinds of things. You're going to be thinking about all kinds of things. Your mind will not be at rest. Your heart will not be at rest. Your body will not be at rest. But when you come home to your spouse, finally everything can stop and you can relax. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So that you can find peace and tranquility and calm in them. The إِلَيْهَا is interesting because it refers to both men and women. It's for the plural. In other words, the wife will find her peace in her husband. And the husband will find his peace in his wife. Don't say, yeah, right, just yet. That is the purpose of marriage. According to Allah, I gave you this gift. And when you look at a gift, you don't know what does it do? Let me unpackage it. What does it do for me? You know? Allah tells, when you unpackage this gift, here's what it does. It gives you peace. You will find peace in your spouse, and they will find peace in you. Now you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself a really hard question, those of us that are married. Is the gift that Allah gave you and me of marriage, when we unpackage this gift, is it giving us what? Is it giving us peace? Is it calming us down? Is it a source of our tranquility? Everything else is problem, 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 problem. Here's the solution, the wife. Everything is going wrong, the only thing going right is the wife. Actually, for a lot of you, everything is going right except the wife. Right? For a lot of sisters, they have no complaints in life except everything that has to do with their husband. I love him except everything about him is annoying. Right? That's what it becomes for a lot of people. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Now, how do you get to that point? How do you find peace in them? Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Additionally, in order to help you find peace in your spouse, Allah Himself put between you, جَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, He put between you, مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, an extreme form of love, مَوَدَّةً. The actual Arabic word is wud, and wad. Wad means love. What also means a very strong form of love. Allah says, مَوَدَّةً, an extreme amount of love. An unusual kind of love. That's what Allah put between husband and wife. You mostly experience that in the first couple of months of marriage. An unusual, it's like nothing you've ever felt before. You didn't know that you could be obsessed with another person that much. You didn't know. You've never felt this way ever before in your life. Does that feeling last? That crazy feeling? That you can't stop thinking about your spouse? And appreciating them and thanking Allah. Thanks. You know, that feeling doesn't last. But it starts off that way. That incredible amount of love. That incredible amount of love in the beginning of marriage is supposed to be like a really strong charge. You know when you charge your batteries for your phone really, really well? Then they're supposed to last longer, right? It's supposed to last longer. But to last longer, what do you have to do with your phone? If you charge it and you unplugged it, you can't keep it on the highest brightness, you can't keep 3G on, you can't keep going on YouTube, you have to do what? Conserve. Show some mercy to your phone. Take it easy. Don't overdo it. Because you gotta make it what? Last. Allah says, مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. I'm not saying your husband's a phone, sisters. Right? Or your wife is. But what I am saying is, there's some similarity. Right? There's some similarity. You're going to need to be extremely courteous. You have extreme love, followed by courtesy. And from a psychological point of view, this is what I wanted to share with you about this ayah. Just this part of the ayah, not even the whole ayah. What I wanted to share with you is some psychological realities. First of all, most people that get married don't see themselves as part of a pair. They don't see themselves. They see themselves as a person who has their own life, their own priorities, their own love, their own hate, their own hobbies, their own habits. And here's another person with their own life, and I'm going to try to get from them everything I want for myself. And they're always trying to get from me what they want from themselves. There's two selfish people come together. They didn't really become zawj. They didn't really come together as two halves. They're actually two holes. And that leaves a hole in the middle, by the way. Right? That leaves a gap in between the marriage. Mentally, you're not thinking of yourself as someone who's going to give themselves, half of themselves up for somebody else. Literally, if you only have half, the other half is somebody else's, right? That's what married life is. You gotta give up half the stuff you wanna do. And you have to replace it with what she wants to do. And you too, you have to give up half the stuff you wanna do. And you have to give it up for what he wants to do. He gives up half, you give up half. That's how it works. That's zawaj. That's marriage. That's the very first point I wanted to make. The second point I wanted to make is, if Allah's gift, the purpose of Allah's gift is to find peace between husband and wife, then you and I have to ask ourselves, why do I get into an argument with my wife? Why do I get mad at my husband? Why does it happen? I have to take a really deep look inside myself. And before I say, well, I get mad at him because obviously he's the source of all evil. I get mad at her because she's created from a bent rib. It's obvious, it's common sense. She just doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand. If you want to understand where the unrest is coming from, if the anger is coming from you, the source is also you. If the anger comes from inside of you, the source of it is also inside of you. You know, إِنَّمَا نُعْطِي مَا أُعْطِينَا. We only give what we were given. كُلُّ إِنَاءٍ بِمَا فِيهِ يَلْمَعُ. Every container only gives out what it has inside. I really have to ask ourselves, are we patient enough in our marriages? Are we doing our part to ensure peace in the household? It's a hard question to ask. But you really, really have to make an effort to do an introspection. What am I doing that I shouldn't? Maybe there's a better way of doing it. What am I saying? There's a better way of saying it. جَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. There's mercy towards your spouse. You know, we show courtesy to everybody else, but we're not willing to give mercy to our spouses. Now I'm going to switch gear and talk about some practical realities in marriage. One of the hardest people to give benefit of the doubt to is your husband or your wife. Hardest people to give benefit of the doubt. When they say something, you first think, what did you mean by that? What do you mean? Is that what you're saying? And he says, no, that's not what I'm saying. I know that's what you're saying. I know how you think. There's no trust. You can't have peace if you don't have trust. When somebody says to you, Assalamu alaikum, this is something mandatory on us, isn't it? What does salam mean? Peace. You came into the house and you declared Assalamu alaikum, there are no fights between us, we are totally okay with each other. Whatever arguments that happened before are dead and buried and I'll never bring them up again because I just said Assalamu alaikum. The wife says, Wa alaikum salam, I agree, all those fights are gone, we now have promised each other peace. You just made a peace agreement the moment you entered the house when you said Assalamu alaikum. Now listen to your salam. Assalamu alaikum. That sound like a peace agreement to you? Our religion teaches us to do this salam all the time so we can move on, that we don't live in the past. The first thing was trust. Trust. You can't always assume that they mean something bad. You can't, shaitan will come here and say, you know what he meant by that? Your husband comes home and tells his wife, hey, dinner smells really good. Oh, what do you mean? It's bad, isn't it? Oh, I hate you. You're always commenting about my cooking. Blah, 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 blah. It just goes crazy. All I said was it smells nice. He's just going to say it smells nice. Shaitan will come and say, actually, he's saying it stinks. And he wants to go to his mother's house and eat instead. And he hates your cooking. And he's already told a bunch of his friends that you are useless. You should let him have it. And she'll explode. And when she explodes, he turns around and says, I'm going to mom. I knew it. Right? There's no trust. That was the first thing. There's no trust. Here's the second thing that we overlook all the time. Constantly. The second thing is you have to have courtesy. You have to have courtesy towards other people's feelings. Look, everybody's had a long day. Your husband's had a long day at work, and you've had a long day maybe at home or at school or taking care of the kids or whatever it is that you do. Both of you had a long day. Don't try to prove to each other, I had a really long day, okay? Don't do that. You don't have to prove it to each other. You don't. If you don't have the common courtesy to know the other has had a hard day, and actually to assume the other probably even had a harder day. They even had a harder day. You're not going to be able to show courtesy. She's going to think you were sitting at the office swatting flies and she had a really hard day that day. And now you're going to come home and she's going to say, do this, 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 and this. Like, I just came from work. Yeah, but I had a hard day. And the other way around. He's going to come home on a hard day from work and he's going to start bossing you around. I'm like, what do you want? I had a long day. Yeah, you know what? I had a long day at work too. I got stuck in traffic too. There's no courtesy. There's no appreciation. The other has had a tough day also. We live in a tough time. Everybody has a tough time. We get stressed out. And the easy people to let that stress out on is the other spouse. We have to be the most courteous to our spouses. We have to save and store our energy for our spouses. We have to put up with their tantrums sometimes. We're human beings. We're never going to be angels. We're not. Which means we're going to get upset. We're going to be upset, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to have a long day and let the frustration out on the husband or on the wife. It's going to happen. You don't mean for it to happen, but it will happen. And when it does happen, the other has to understand, look, I do that sometimes too. I got to chill out this time. I don't have to respond to everything with every, a comeback. Sometimes it's better to just say, just leave it, drop it. That's what husbands have to learn to do. That's what wives have to learn to do. And by the way, the best thing you can ever do in the face of an aggressive husband or an aggressive wife is a gift. The best thing you can do. She's yelling at you, start doing the dishes. She'll say, what are you doing? I'm just doing the dishes. I maybe thought you'd like me to do the dishes. I don't want you to do them. I can do them myself. I was like, I know you can do them yourself. But I'd really like to do them for you today. She'll just stop me. She'll be confused for a while. But in her confusion, she'll stop yelling. And that's a good thing. Right? He's yelling at you. He's getting upset with you. Do something out of the ordinary. I made your favorite thing. Key. I don't want to eat it. Just try it. Just take one bite and take it. Now I know why I married you. The idea is to disarm and diffuse the other with a good deed. With a good deed. With something nice towards the other. These are sunnah. I didn't come up with this stuff. The Prophet used to do this stuff himself. He used to do this stuff himself. You know the worst expression of the Prophet's anger? When he was really, really angry at his wife, you know what he would do, guys? He'd be quiet. This was his wife. The mothers of the believers would know something is really wrong. He's not talking today. He wouldn't yell. He wouldn't scream. He wouldn't scold. Nothing. His expression of being totally and absolutely upset was, he was quiet. He was quiet. So if you're really, really upset, you can't handle it, just be quiet. If you can't even handle it, then go make salat in the masjid and come back. It'll calm you down. You know? But don't let it out on your spouse. Don't let it out on your spouse. This is short talk, I can't give you like too much stuff about marriage. A couple of things. There was trust, there was courtesy. Here's a third thing that's very common. Show respect for each other's family. You have to respect each other's family. A lot of marital problems are there not because the husband and wife don't get along, but because the husband doesn't like something about his brother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law, cousin-in-law, this-in-law, that-in-law, and the wife doesn't like something about his brother, his uncle, his... And they're always fighting about their extended families. In other words, the conflict is all about each other's families. You don't have to love them, that's hard enough. It's hard enough to love your husband. So you don't have to love your extended family on your in-law's side. But you absolutely must what? You must respect them. You shouldn't talk trash about them. You shouldn't vent about them. You shouldn't just throw in every time you get a chance. You know, your whole family's like that. Like, don't slip those things in. All of them are like that. Don't slip it in. Don't make those kinds of snickering comments about the other family. Show respect. She has a lot of love for her father, her brother, her mother, just like you do. You don't want to hear things about your family. She doesn't want to hear things about her family. And that itself is a show of love for your spouse, that you don't say anything hurtful about their family. You don't even say to them. And a lot of us, we get really smart with our spouses, right? So we don't say things directly. We say things through sarcasm. How's your brother doing? Why did you say that? I'm just saying, how's he doing? I want to know. No, you don't want to know. That smirk at the end says it all. Right? If you don't really want to know how he's doing, don't ask. It's much better. It's much better. Show courtesy to each other's family. Show respect to each other's family. And part of that, and this is the last thing I want to share with you about marriages, especially in our community, allow your wife to spend time with her family and allow your husband to spend time with his family without getting angry at them for doing so. You're always over there. You're always talking about your sister. You're always doing this. No. Give them that time. Give them that time. And most of the time, your wife wants to talk to her family all the time, mostly because you don't have time to talk to her. That's mostly the reason. Not because she loves them more and loves you less. It's not a competition. She's married to you. You won. The competition's over. Contract's already been signed. It's done. So you shouldn't think of your in-laws as competitors for your spouse. You shouldn't think of your mother-in-law as someone who's constantly telling my husband to hate me. So I hate it when he goes and talks to my mother-in-law. Don't do that. It's his mother. I know you think that she's the darkest cloud you've ever seen. I know you think that. But regardless, she's his mother. She's his, leave him be with his mother. And his mother might say really nasty things about you. You know why? Because she thinks you're stealing him from her. So you're both exactly the same in some ways. And your husband knows that. And he says, you're just like my mother, and you really explode. What did you say about mother? Husbands, stay quiet. Don't say anything. Just give both time. Give both ample courtesy and time. Actually, I said that was the last thing, right? This is the last thing. This really is. I mean this one. Right? This is the last thing. Husbands, we have to be able to give our wives. I'm not including children in this conversation. We have to be able to give our wives time that is just theirs between you and them, with no kids, no in-laws, no work, no cell phone, no laptop, no TV, no nothing else, just you and your spouse. If you can manage to take them out to dinner once in a while, maybe once a week, to set a day, schedule it. If you have that kind of a difficult life, put a schedule in. And this day, grandma's gonna take care of the kids, and I'm gonna take the wife out for dinner somewhere. I'm just gonna spend some time with her. We're gonna go out for a walk, even a walk. I tell you, most of the time, all our wives want is very similar to what our mothers want. They just want to feel important. They want to feel like you care. That's all they want to feel like. They don't want money. They ask for money out of anger sometimes. Not because they care about money. They don't care about money. A lot of, they don't. You would think so. They don't. You can give them all the gifts. You're working hard. You're going to work, and you're giving up so much of your life. And you come and you give them money, and you give them house, and you give them this, and you give them that, and they're still upset. And you say, I give you everything. Why are you still upset with me? Well, she's upset with you because you don't give her importance. Money and car and house, oh, that's nice. She wants you. She wants your time. She wants to be able to talk to you. She wants to be able to say that when you have a problem, you come to her first. You're able to have a conversation with her. You're able to trust her with anything. We have to take that huge leap because we don't do that. When we have problems, we talk to our friends, the guys, co-workers. You know, we'll talk to our parents, somebody else, but we don't talk to our wife. Look at the Prophet ﷺ. Probably the biggest crisis situation in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ is Hudaybiyah, when the Sahaba refused to take their ihram off. This is the first time a collective of Muslims that are willing to sacrifice their life for the Prophet ﷺ have refused a direct order. They refused a direct order. It's unimaginable. Like, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't even know what to do at this point. Where does he go for counsel? The major generals? The head advisors? The elders of the Sahaba? Where does he go? The wife. He goes to the spouse. You know, in high level, in government, kings back in the day, women weren't allowed in the inner circle. Like the president, when he has his high level meetings, if the first lady walks in, he says, excuse me, can you come back in 10 minutes? I'm in a meeting right now. This doesn't have to do with you, woman. Look at the Prophet ﷺ. What did he do? This is a high caliber, classified, meeting going on. At the highest level of the authority given to the Prophet ﷺ, and who's this meeting with? His wife. How much more important can a wife become? How much more important can the mother of the believers become? The first consultation after revelation. First meeting with Jibreel. Next meeting with who? Wife. Where is the courtesy we've given our wives? Where is the actual healthy conversation we've given our wives? It takes work, guys. It doesn't come naturally. Not for us. We're not good at conversation anyway. Guys can sit together for 3 hours and not say a word and still be like, oh, we had a great time. One, women need you to talk. And if not talk, at least listen. But not just pretend to listen, like, not like that. Actually listen. Actually have a conversation. Most of your problems disappear when you learn to just communicate respectfully. Most of them will disappear. These are some few things I want to repeat them to you guys and close, inshallah ta'ala. First one was what? What was what? Trust. Trust. Benefit of the doubt is trust. Second is courtesy. Third, respect for her and for her family. Fourth, I forgot, huh? Importance, giving your wife importance, giving your husband importance, making time for them, something else came in my head that I will tell you. Okay, that's too long. That's on time. Might as well not. the most, I spoke from the women's side, right? Might as well throw it in. You know what? It's already way over time, so who cares? Okay. I told you, all they want from us is what? At the end of the day, to feel important. Let me tell you what they want. All they want to feel is respected, appreciated. They feel like you, they do everything and you don't appreciate anything. You're always complaining. That's what they feel like. So a little bit of a comment, yeah, I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you so much. And a show of respect. Just, even if you don't want to, just show, make him feel like he's respected. You can still get your way. You totally can. Just make him feel like it's his way. You're smart enough to do that. My mom's been doing that to me since I was born. I feel like I got my way. She always gets her way. Don't you think these vegetables are tastier than the chocolate? And I'll eat it. I'll say, yeah, it is better. Give the chocolate to my sister. Like, right? You at least let them feel like they're in charge, even if they're not. We all know they're not in charge. I know. I know I'm not in charge. But you know what feels really good? At least I can pretend to think I am. Give them that. Don't make them feel like you have to say no to everything they say, undercut everything they say, argue back with everything they say, maneuver around it. That'll make them appreciate you like you have never imagined. They just want to feel like, I'm out of the house. I got the authority. And it's not working out for you, I know. Every time you exert your authority, it blows up in your face. That's because they don't know how to give it. They don't know how to, like, maneuver it. And you don't know how to ask for it. If you gave them time, you'd have the respect anyway. So you guys do your half, they do their half, and we become zawj. May Allah Ta'ala become zawj. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us true azwaj. May Allah Azza wa Jalla put sakina, tranquility, and peace in our marriages. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us a source of each other's rescue on the Day of Judgment, that she's the reason that I became a better Muslim, and I'm the reason she became a better Muslimah, and we both helped each other get and make our path to Jannah with our children. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa hiyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.